You're listening to another inspirational message from Bell Road Church. If you live in the North Phoenix area and are looking for a church community, we'd love to have you join us. It's a great place for the whole family where you can have fun and grow closer to Jesus. For more information, visit us at www.bellroadchurch.com.
Amen, amen. Hey, why don't you go ahead and have a seat? And I have the privilege of introducing to you one of my pastors. I got a few people in my life that are pastors to me, and we have Pastor Lee Metcalf with us here this morning. He's from the network office. We're connected to, affiliated with the Assemblies of God, and you know, and just for me and Amy being new here to Arizona the last few years, not knowing anybody, I really, really am thankful for Pastor Lee because he's become a pastor to me. And by the way, it's good to know that your pastor has a pastor, right? Because we all need pastors. And he's become a great mentor to me and a great friend to me. I've talked with him about so many things in life and, you know, just leadership and church stuff. And he has been a wealth of wisdom and knowledge for me. I really appreciate him and who he's been for me in our life. He's had an impact on our church because of his leadership in my life. And so I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful we get to have him here this morning. And by the way, we bonded last May. Him and I hiked all the way down into the Grand Canyon to the bottom and back and discovered, that was a lot of fun as we were hiking together doing that, but I discovered that was a really hard feat to do. I highly recommend it. It's awesome to do, but it's not a walk in the park, I will tell you that. It's one of the most difficult things I've ever done physically in my entire life, but it was awesome, wasn't it, Pastor Lee, right? So, hey, can we welcome Pastor Lee to Bell Road Church here this morning?
Thank you, Pastor Tyrone. It's so good to be here with you this morning. Great honor for me and my wife, Jody, to be with you today, and also this afternoon going to be with you for a little while. If you're new in the church or part of, as you said, your church is part of a network of churches that's really worldwide, and it's a network of autonomous churches. We now have 225 churches in Arizona, 13,000 nationwide, with over 67 million people worldwide that are part of this network of churches. And it's one of the fastest growing in the world. Exciting to be a part of. And we have a lot of churches, but I want to say I really, really appreciate and respect Pastor Tyrone and Amy. You have fantastic pastors, and we are really proud of them in Arizona. I don't just say that. We really believe that. They really are doing a great job, and so good to be here with you. Pastor Tyrone, I know it's been a month of talking about the family, and which I really appreciate. And I got to just say, these last few minutes, just seeing the babies and the families and the dedication, that really reflects who you are as a church family. And that just touched my heart. I just love to see people dedicating not only their children, but dedicating themselves to raising their children in the ways of God. And, you know, we live in a world today. You don't have to go far. I mean, you can go just about any store or somewhere, and you see some kids, and you're thinking, where are your parents? And who are your parents? And what's happening with our parents today? And we live in a challenging culture today, and people trying to figure out how to raise kids. And, you know, my generation, some of you would probably share the same thing. It was kind of like there was one style of parenting. And over the years, it's kind of changed. And today, with the millennial generation and people raising their own kids, it's kind of parenting style is just all over the map. And you think, you know, how are you going to raise your kids? And that's really a challenge for us today, thinking just how are we going to parent them? And are we going to parent them well? And I don't want to be like maybe something I saw growing up or the way my parents or the lack of the way they were. And it's really a kind of a challenge today, but it's something that every one of us, whether you have your own kids or not, we are involved in parenting. You can help. I mean, there are some people that were influences in my life that didn't have parents, but they helped to parent me because of their godly influence about life and God and how things work. And so I just want to encourage you as we talk, and I was asked to talk a little bit about not only this afternoon, but this morning about parenting, that all of us are involved in parenting. We can help be an encouragement to kids and young people and people at every age and every stage of life, and helping to parent them well. And it takes more than just a parent. It takes a we often hear it takes a village to raise a child, and it takes a faith community like this to raise children in the ways of God, and we all have an impact in that. So it's just very exciting to be here with you and to share that common goal of parenting well for everybody that has kids. Jody and I will be sharing this evening. I hope you come back this evening. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be an interactive time, parenting experience from 5 to 8. And not just going to be a lecture time. Not just going to get up and tell you this is what you ought to do with your kids. It's going to be a time we're just going to share some of our education experience, things that we've learned, things that we've learned to do, things maybe not do. We'll just have a lot of fun and times of discussion, be able to ask questions. We'll be in some small groups and just be able to talk about and maybe help encourage you as our hope and giving you ideas as a parent, a grandparent, a future parent. And we're going to talk about adventure parenting this afternoon. And, you know, it really is an adventure. When those kids enter your life, you just start on the greatest adventure of your life. You never know what's going to happen from one day to the next. And there's just a lot of exciting things that go on. So this afternoon at 5 o'clock, we're going to talk about the preparation, just preparing yourself for that journey of parenting. We're going to talk about the journey, parenting with no regrets. And we don't want to look back in life and think, boy, I wish I would have done this as a parent. We're going to talk about creating those moments that matter in life, creating moments every day that are picture-worthy or Instagram-worthy. You know, the moments that you think, hey, I just want to stay in this moment. I want to take a picture of this. I want to remember this moment. So we're going to talk about creating moments and how to do that and how important that is. Also, course corrections. In your parenting or in your life. Some people come to Christ or faith in Christ later in life and realize somewhere down the road, hey, I've already got kids, I've already been doing my best, but now I realize that God has given us some biblical principles and things to apply to parenting that are a whole lot better than me just kind of winging it as a parent. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit, some of the course corrections that we can make according to biblical values and teaching. And then how to bless your kids. We're going to talk about how to bless your kids. We see in Scripture from the time of Abraham. Am I hearing things or other people? Am I going crazy or the other? Do you guys hear that, right? Okay, it's not just me. Okay. Just want to make sure I'm not hearing another voice there. We're going to talk about how to bless your kids. We need to bless our kids at different stages in life. Jody and I planted and pastored a church in Life Point Church in Prescott Valley. We were there for 12 years before entering into the position we're in now. And we created a culture of blessing and blessing our kids and even blessing ceremonies that we had for our kids. And just absolutely amazing. We'll share a little bit about that this afternoon and how you can do that as a family and how to bless your kids and just the impact that blessing makes upon them. So just want to, I guess, give you an idea of what to look forward to this afternoon. So I don't know, Jody, do you want to stand or just wave? This is my wife, Jody. So blessed by her. Just wanted to introduce her. We have two kids. We have a son, Caden, who's 25. Next week, going to be 26. He is the Radiant College Director, teaching pastor at Radiant Church in Surprise. And our daughter, Brinley, and her husband, Nick. She is 23, soon to be 24. They are married. We're children's pastors at Dream City Church this last year. They just transitioned over to Radiant Church. And so they are there as well. And working in ministry just started this last week. They just had their first child 8 months ago. So I'm a grandparent, a grandfather. And we're very excited to have an 8-month-old baby. I have to say it's a little weird to see my baby girl holding her own baby girl. And it's cool, but it's weird and to experience that. But just love our new grandbaby and just excited that our kids are serving the Lord and love Jesus with all their heart. I know growing up, when Caden was first born, I just had that fear of, man, I want to do this parenting thing well. But I just think, I don't know how to do it. I had in my mind maybe what it would look like, some of the things from what I experienced growing up that I wanted to do, that I didn't want to do. And I kind of learned that. But I remember I had this great fear. I would think at night of I always had a fear of leaving him somewhere and just forgetting him. And because that's happened to me a couple of times when I was a kid, my dad forgot me. So I guess it was something in me. I don't want to forget my own child. But I have to say, I did leave him a couple of times at preschool and a couple of other places. Jody's like, hey, where are you? Are you supposed to pick him up? Like, no, that's my worst fear, forgetting him. It's been a fun parenting them. I will say, for you that are future parents or parents with young kids, I was told that it used to frustrate me that, you know, hey, your kids are great now, but just wait until they get to be two-year-olds, you know, the terrible twos. And then it's kind of like, well, you know, they're great now, but wait until they get into school. Wait until they get into junior high. Wait until they start driving. Wait until they start dating. Wait until, you know, it's great now, but wait till. So I always thought, hey, I love every year got better. It was like when they were babies, like, man, I wish they could just stay this way. They're so cute and so awesome. And they got to two, and it wasn't the terrible twos. And it was great. And they got to three. I mean, every year was like, I wish they could stay like this because this is so cool. This is like better than the last year. And it's like every year is better than the last year. And it's just been that way with our kids their entire life. I will say I had one moment I didn't like when they both left for college. And when we dropped them off in another state at college and came home, I have to say that was a really sad moment. And for our kids, for us, not for our kids, but for us. And they're happy, but it was really tough for us. But I want to talk to you today just a little bit about spiritual parenting. It really, I mean, you're in church, we want to be people, we're people of faith and want to impart that faith to our kids. But you can't just wing it as a parent. And if you are not intentional about your parenting, you just figure, well, I'll just kind of figure it out as I go, you're going to wake up one day and wonder, hey, what happened to my kids? And why are they wayward? And why are we having these struggles? And there are things you've got to be very intentional. It's the greatest joy, adventure, gift, challenge, I mean, everything wrapped into one in parenting. It's a lot of work, and you're going to work the rest of your life when you have kids. You're going to be parenting them all of your life. So I want to be intentional, and I want to do it well, and I want to encourage you today. The church, I know, helps provide spiritual direction for you and for your family. And maybe you started visiting here at Bell Road Church this month and you found a caring community of people that love you and want to help you with your spiritual direction. And they will be able to teach you life from a biblical perspective. Life the way that God designed for us to live it. And as you grow spiritually and in all the areas of your life, it's at that point that you can begin to provide the spiritual parenting that every child needs. I know not everybody grew up in church. Not everybody understands the biblical principles of parenting and how to do this thing well. So I just want to give you a few points today of things to talk about. Number one, I want to talk about, first of all, is the training. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6 says, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. We often hear this passage to say, raise up a child in the way you think he should go, and when he is old, he won't disappoint you. I think that's kind of how we feel. Hey, you better do what's right if you know what's good for you. You know, I brought you in this world. I can take you out of this world. You know, I've heard all those things growing up, you know, in your life. But this scripture is really talking about it's really the image in Proverbs of a vineyard. It's a horticultural term that's used here. The word train is used to describe what you do when a vine is trained to a trellis. The goal is to become a student of the vine in such a way as to learn what support it needs to allow its natural life to flourish. You train a vine to the trellis to support its fruitfulness, so that when it's old and mature and full of fruit, it doesn't break under the stress. Wow. The proverb is saying, become a student of your child, learn who they are, and support the emergence of their true self. Wow. so that they won't just break under the strain of the false self, not learning who they really are or who they've been designed to become, because children are a gift from God. They are a gift from God. They are the greatest joy of your life. Once you have kids, it's not like, hey, work is not my identity anymore. You know, I'm not just finding my identity in life and work and other things. I mean, your identity is found as being a parent. And that's what we want to do as moms and dads. We need to be present. We need to be there as a parent. Or if you're a single parent, you need to do your best to get maybe other men or women in their life so that they can help to parent them and lead them along the way in life. So it's a great gift. And we have a God-given responsibility to train and disciple our kids. It's a great responsibility. I know there are days that you wish that gift, you think, hey, I think I got the wrong gift. Maybe I just need to give this back. Today they're not a gift. Today they're a challenge. I know that there's those days, but I know that we ourselves were probably not a gift to our parents every single day of our life. It is a challenge. There's growth and learning that takes place. Secondly, I want to talk about following. In making disciples, Jesus invites us to follow first, even before we believe. Sometimes we follow and we just kind of follow along, and after a while we realize, you know, maybe I do. Maybe there is something to this. Maybe I do believe in this. And it's important for everyone we disciple, including our kids. Jody and I taught our kids to follow Jesus because that's what we're called to do. And along the way, you learn, you experience, you watch, and eventually you believe for yourself. That's what happens for your kids. My parents, for us, going to church was not an option. My dad learned later in life. He grew up in a family that he had 11 brothers and sisters. He had 6 of those who died in childhood diseases and accidents, just tragically. His dad became an alcoholic, later ended his own life. He abandoned the family. My dad was the youngest. His dad abandoned the family when he was in the 8th grade. So he went out, got a job downtown Phoenix at Wholesome Bakery, lied about his age. He was tall, and so he could get a job and support his sisters and his mom because he had an absent father. It was later in life when he had 3 boys, I was the youngest of 3, that he found the Lord, and he got saved. It was on a softball team. Guys invited him to play softball, and they said, hey, by the way, now that you're playing, you guys have a co-ed team, I hear, this afternoon or something, and it's softball players. Well, he said, hey, now that you're on the team, we're a church team. It'd probably be good if he came to church once in a while. He said, well, I can do that. And you kind of know how that goes. He got invited. But he found out what you learned. And if you weren't here last week to hear this sermon on leaving a legacy, you need to listen to that sermon online. It was fantastic. Pastor Tyrone just talked about living our life well and leaving that legacy. And my dad learned that he could change the legacy that he was given, and he could leave a better legacy. You can't choose the legacy that you receive, but you can choose the legacy that you leave. And my dad decided, hey, as far as for me and my house, we're gonna serve the Lord. So I was just a baby at the time when he gave his heart to the Lord. So it was not an option for us. Whether you believe it or not, doesn't matter, you're going to church. And it's like, hey, you eat good, you go to bed, you go to school. I mean, there's things you do that eventually, doesn't matter if you think it's good for you or not, or if you believe in it or not. You know, I don't believe in school. Does it matter? You still go to school. So you're going to follow Jesus because that's what we do. And eventually you begin to believe that on your own. When Jesus, the Son of God, came to this earth as a man, he invited 12 men to follow him and to get to know him and learn from him. Some doubted him and his abilities, but 2 years later, he asked them, who do you believe that I am? And they said, well, some people think you're just a man. Some people think you're Elijah. He said, who do you think say that I am? And of course, Peter speaks up and he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And from that point, he put them on a mission in life to go into all the world and make disciples. We teach our kids to follow Jesus and join us on the mission, but we've got to give them sometimes time to believe for themselves. They may not serve in ministry as a vocation, but they will serve the Lord and have fruitful ministry while fulfilling their purpose on this earth. Spiritual parenting really means to seek God as a parent and seek to please Him with our parenting and seek Him for the strength and the power that we need as a parent. I envy some parents today. I've got some single moms that they work full-time jobs. They've got several kids. They're just trying to make life work and trying to parent well. I think, God, give them strength and give them power and help them. God, give them just a divine grace to help them in parenting well. And for a Christ follower, it's spiritual parenting is parenting from a spiritual perspective with eternity in mind. And you're raising kids and you're influencing them for eternity. That's a pretty heavy thing when you think about as a parent. I love author Michelle Anthony in her book, An Awakening for Today's Families, says it this way about spiritual parenting. She said, it's a way of parenting that declares, I want to parent the child or children that God gave me in such a way that I first honor God, and then second, create the best environment to put my children on the path to know Him. You're creating that environment that they can know Jesus. That's why, hey, going to church, not an option. That's who we are. That's what we do. That's part of getting them on the right path, getting them in the children's ministry, in the youth ministry, and getting them to camps and conventions and opportunities to experience God and know Him personally in their own life. So as spiritual parents, we commit ourselves to being students of our children, to learn about them specifically as the children that God has entrusted to us. Not only do I need to learn how to rely on God, since His Word makes it clear that He alone is the one who changes hearts, but I also need to learn how my children are fearfully and wonderfully made in order to best guide them on the path that God has designed specifically for them. It's not about adopting the parenting style that works for our children, because we all need to adapt our parenting to the uniqueness of each child and at the same time retain your authority and values. It's different for every kid. Every kid's different. Every one of them has a different personality. Some you need to discipline, some discipline doesn't work. And it's just they're all over the place. You just have to adapt to each child. Jesus said, our purpose as God's people is to love Him with our whole life and to love others in every way we can think of. Luke chapter 10, 27 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Our purpose as parents is to teach our children about the wonder of who God is, how to have a relationship with Him, what it looks like to live our lives for Him and through Him. I know there are two extremes that we've discovered in parenting. One extreme is that of isolation, spending all your energy to keep your kids from the world. You know, don't go there, don't watch that, don't be around those kids, don't. I mean, it's like we isolate them from everything because we don't want anything bad to happen. We don't want them to learn bad behavior or bad things or in their life. So we just keep them from everything. No TV, no radio, no anything, you know, because we're just going to protect you. So there's that isolation. The opposite of that, really, the other extreme would be association. Those parents that to figure, hey, my kids just need to be toughened up by the world. They might as well be in the world and, you know, learn how to deal with it. And it's just kind of like throwing them in the deep end of a swimming pool and knowing they'll figure out how to swim eventually, hopefully, you know, that they'll learn that. And it's kind of that just association, hey, they'll figure it out. But neither of those extremes are biblical. The Christian life calls us, of course, to be in the world, but not of the world. We need to teach them to live in it, but we've got to teach them how to live in it and not be affected in that. I grew up probably like some of you. I grew up in church. I grew up in a Christian home, and I felt like at times I was defined by what I did not do. That's how I was defined. Well, I don't do this, I don't do this, I don't do this. We have testimonies in our youth group to talk about, you know, hey, I thank the Lord, I don't do this, I don't live like them, and I'm not, you know, those things, and God's protected me from this, and, you know, it's kind of like what I don't do. But I think that's kind of wrong in our perspective, and we're not identified by what we don't do. Spiritual parenting says, I'm going to stand here in the midst of it all, I'm going to live in the world because God has placed me in it for this time. And yet I recognize that we are aliens. As the Apostle Peter states, the world is not my home and it never will be. I will never feel completely comfortable here. I will never feel like I completely fit in the world. I learned that in high school. I realized I'm serving God, but a lot of the people around me are not serving God, and I just didn't fit in. And I remember being discouraged, thinking, why can't I just fit in? Why don't I just, you know, it seems like they're having fun. Why can't I have fun like them and do the things that they do, you know, because I've chosen to serve Jesus, and you're trying to figure out this in life of I don't really fit. Sometimes that's difficult as you're growing up. The dependence on God and His Spirit is at the heart of being a spiritual parent. I wrestle with that concept with our own kids. You know, I want to protect them from the world, but yet I want them to learn how to grow up, and I want to learn how they're guided. I don't want to expose them to the world without, you know, I don't want them to have the sin and the stain of this world that may damage them. And it's such a natural reaction as a parent to want to protect them from that. But what would it look like if we parented a generation of young people to define themselves by what they did do? What if they're defined by what they do in life instead of not what they don't do in life? What if they're defined by their actions of justice and mercy, or forgiveness and love and strength and courage and generosity and humility and faithfulness? And they're defined by, as young people even, and as children, being people who are leaders, people who are strong, people that demonstrate courageous, people who know who they are in Christ, that they don't have to fit into the world, that they can be different than everybody else. I mean, that's what we want our kids to grow up and be. We don't want them to be influenced. We want them to be the influence. Amen. So teach them to be identified by what they do. We can't just focus on our children's outward behavior without inner transformation. And I think that's sometimes what we do. We just focus on the behavior. Don't do this, don't do this. And we're constantly, you know, telling them what not to do. You know, be good. You know, don't be bad. Sometimes we need to just show appreciation. Amen. We need to show appreciation. Focus on, if you're having struggles with your kids, you need to focus. Stop focusing on just the bad things and take more time to focus on the good things. Show positive affirmation. You know, find those moments when they're acting in kindness or forgiveness or love, or sometimes when they do things good. Make sure you recognize those things. Sometimes kids just feel like, why do you only point out the things I do bad? Do I do anything good? But we kind of get caught up in life. We get busy. We get active. And, you know, we're just kind of going along, not really, you know, when they get out of line, that's what you recognize. Sometimes that appreciation is crucial for us. Thirdly is faith. Jesus, we read in Hebrews chapter 12 and 2, it says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. What better way to have our children fall in love with Jesus than for us to be living testimonies of what that means? I'll tell you one thing that is true in spiritual parenting is you can't give away something you don't have. When they are young, we teach things like sharing with each other and not throwing a tantrum when you don't get your way, or how to have conversations without interrupting. You teach them all those basic things, why we don't watch certain things on TV. And as they get older, we teach them other things. We begin to teach them about sex. And I think, why let the world teach them? Teach them from a biblical perspective. One of the top 5 to 10 probably greatest moments with my son. I know Jody the same with our daughter. When I took Caden on a camp out, and when he was just a boy, and I thought, I'm going to teach him about sex before the world does. So I said, hey, I'm going to talk to you about something we've never talked about before. He's like, okay. You know, and I began to talk to him, and it's like taking a whiteboard. He didn't know to be embarrassed, because nobody had talked to him about it. He didn't learn. I got to him before the world did. So it's like I gave this picture of what that should look like, and how you should be, and how you should treat girls, and how this looked like in life, and from a biblical perspective. And it was such a cool moment. It just asked questions, and we talked about it and discussed it. And it was just the coolest moment ever. That's how it should be. We should be teaching our kids from a biblical perspective before the world teaches them those things. Sadly, that's got to be at a pretty young age these days when it comes to certain aspects in life. But we've got to be the ones to teach them. As parents, we all want better for our kids than what we have. We want better education, better opportunities, less pain. We want more for them than we experienced. But when it comes to faith, you can't hope them into something better than you are living yourself. You can't hope your child has a better spiritual relationship than you are experiencing yourself. Faith matters. Your faith matters. We are living examples of what is real, and we can't give away that something we don't have. So spiritual parenting reminds me that it's not my job to merely control my child's behavior, but rather it is my job to model with authenticity what I have in my relationship with Christ. And hopefully what I have is worth passing on to the next generation. Deuteronomy chapter 6, as Pastor Tyrone read this morning, I want to remind you, he said, "These commandments I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up." Our children hunger to see the reality of who God is in the natural flow of our lives. When we're getting up, when we're sitting down, when we're on a journey, when we're putting them to bed, our children need to see that faith matters, that it's relevant to our daily situations, that it's real. We need to model how our lives are spiritual in every decision. They need to witness firsthand that our faith is not merely something we focus on when it's convenient, but teach them in every aspect of life. This last year, we did hike the Grand Canyon, but I also took about 15 pastors, and we rafted the bottom half of the Grand Canyon. It was 54 miles that we rafted, and we did it in two-man inflatable kayaks. And we got in there, I mean, we thought it was the big giant raft. We got down there, found out it's these two-man kayaks, and it was like, it was one of those moments of crickets, you know, it's just like, it got so silent. You know, everybody's looking around like, he's like, "Who's going first?" You know, and everybody's looking around like, you know. So I told Cade, my son, "Cade, we got to just jump in, man. We got to show him. We'll just do it. We got to volunteer. Somebody's got to go do this thing." But he told us that the guide instructed us that we're going to face some really large rapids, and we could see it. I mean, as soon as you go in, you're hitting these just giant rapids in the Colorado River. And he said that you've got to do everything you can to paddle directly into the tongue, they call it. You got to go right into the tongue of the rapid. If you don't, if you try to go around it, it's going to knock you right out of your raft, and you're going to be swimming. Trust me. But as we're doing it, I just could not do it. It took everything in me. I'm thinking, it's so big, it's intimidating. And we tried to go around. I mean, we just violated everything. And of course, we had this sideways wave. It knocked me right out of the kayak. And I was swimming through these rapids. You know, it's like you feel like you're swimming for your life. And it was just intimidating. Once I learned to face them head on, and we did it, and we came through it, and it was like, that was really cool. Then it became the ride of your life. And he said, just stay with the current. Just stay with the flow. Don't try to go around it. Go with the flow right into the center of it. Just face those things head on. And I think when we follow God's direction for our life, we are going with the flow. We're hitting things head on. And you don't try to avoid it. You don't try to run. You don't try to avoid conflict. It's like, hey, I can hit this thing head on, and I'm going to make it through it. It's going to be the ride of my life. There might be some huge rapids along the way, but I'm going to make it through it. If I try to go around it, if I try to avoid it, if I try to just pretend it's not there, I'm going to be capsized. I'm going to be swimming. I'm going to think I'm drowning. I'm going to think life's over. That's kind of what happens in life for us when we fight against his principles that are best for us. It's frustrating and it's hard, like we're trying to paddle up the river and we don't get very far and we find ourselves falling out of the kayak. We've got to go with God's principles. That is going with the flow. When you go against it, you're going to have trouble. Before Christ, some people come to Christ because they're having so much trouble. They think, well, maybe God is the answer. And you find out he really is the answer, that the Bible has the answers, that the principles of God's word really guide us the way that life was intended to be lived. And that's what we pass on to our kids. That's what we pass on to them. The last point would be that God's image. Our goal is to become the kind of people that God can trust so that he can empower us to live. Genesis chapter 1, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Why don't you just look at the person next to you and say, hey, God created you and he did a really good job. Yeah, now you're turning to the other side. Say it. Yeah, tell me again. You guys are having way fun on that. We are created. All of you are created in the image of God, and he really did a great job in creating you. You're created in his image to be God's representatives and ambassadors on the earth, and we need to become a person that can represent him well on this planet. Our kids are also created in the image of God. As a parent, they are not an extension of us. They are not a project for us. They are a separate from you as a person created. They are created in the image of God, and we as parents need to honor them as the beautiful and unique person that they were created to become. They are not something that we can kind of tell them what they need to become. It's our job to help them to become what God created them to become. Not our desires, not our goals, not our intentions, but help them discover who they are in Christ. Parenting your kids spiritually is a process of you and your kids being conformed into the image of Christ. It's a journey into becoming people of compassion. People who forgive, people who care deeply for others and the world, people who offer themselves to God to become agents of divine grace in the lives of others and the world around them, people who love and serve as Jesus did. That's what we're doing as spiritual parents. We're helping our kids to become what God designed them to become. I want to pray for you this morning. And why don't you just stand with me, and I would just like to pray for you. I think the worship team's going to come back. But I just want to pray and ask God's blessing upon your life today. Lord, I thank you for Bell Road Church and what a great community and family that has been created here. Lord, help us to spiritually parent well, to parent with eternity in mind. Give us the strength we need to help our kids discover who you are, and to learn to live in the world without becoming like the world. Help us raise courageous and strong kids who are admired for how they live with conviction and stand for the truth. Help us to enjoy, God, the incredible gift that you have given us as parents and as a church. Lord, bless our young people today. Cause them to see how great you are. Lord, these children that were dedicated this morning, the families that came, Lord, in support of them, Lord, may they grow in the ways of God and become strong young men and women of influence in their culture. God, we thank you, and I pray your blessing upon this church family in Jesus' name.
Thanks again for listening to this message of Bell Road Church. We hope you enjoyed it and that God spoke to you through it. Be sure to connect with us online via Twitter, Facebook, and at bellroadchurch.com.